commentary, interviews, and more.
What is the biggest story going into camp?
This is such a complicated issue.
CBS Sports Radio.
This is The Big League
on CBS Sports Radio and CBSSportsRadio.com.
CBS Sports Radio.
As a dentist, I see patients smile every day. However, no one is happy to see signs of oral cancer, particularly with patients who use chewing tobacco. I see the severe consequences coming from dipping. I'm Dr. Steven Spitz with Smile Boston Cosmetic and Implant Dentistry. As the dentist on record for Boston's baseball team, I've introduced them to Jake's Mint Chew as a healthy alternative. Jake's is a USDA certified organic mint that has no tobacco, no nicotine, caffeine, or sugar. Jake's packs like the real thing with no harmful side effects. Go to jakesmintchew.com to order now. Chew healthy. Chew mint.
Congratulations to the Chicago Blackhawks. They defeat the Tampa Bay Lightning and hoist the Stanley Cup once again. Blackhawks fans, this is your destination for a complete recap of this historic season and full coverage of the celebration.
This is what it's all about. That's why we play the game.
We're going to be partying with the city for at least a week straight here.
To hoist that thing, it hasn't sunk in yet.
It was a great achievement. I'm going to enjoy this one.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Sports Radio 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WJMK HD2 Chicago.
The Score!
Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Julie DeCaro. Congratulations to the Blackhawks from the Wolves on their Stanley Cup. It's all over, but the celebrating for the Blackhawks after they won their third Stanley Cup since 2010 last night. Duncan Keith was the unanimous choice for the Conn Smythe Trophy for the most valuable player in the postseason.
It's awesome. It's like you said, it's never happened before. We've done it at home, so it's special anytime you win it, but to do it now and in front of our fans, the whole day was crazy. A lot of fans walking around the town, and it's what can I say? It's so much fun right now.
Keith is only the ninth defenseman to win the Conn Smythe since the award's inception in 1964. More details now on the parade. The celebratory parade will begin Thursday morning at 10 a.m. and will be followed by a rally at Soldier Field. That rally will require free tickets. The mayor's office says more details on how to get those tickets is forthcoming. Stanley Cup will be at Wrigley Field tonight along with the Blackhawks. Right now it's at a private party at Patrick Sharp's home. To the Bears, Martellus Bennett was present and accounted for as minicamp got underway today at Hallis Hall. Bennett declined to comment on the state of his relationship with the Bears and whether or not he's asked to be traded.
Did you ask for a trade at any point?
I don't know my agent. That's them between them and upstairs.
Kyle Long saw more time at right tackle today while Jordan Mills is out with an appendix issue. Baseball, the White Sox have lost four in a row and are now six games under .500 heading into tonight's game in Pittsburgh. Jose Quintana takes on 4-0 Charlie Morton tonight in Pittsburgh. Quintana's 2-4 with a 3.18 ERA in his last seven games. The Cubs have called up the organization's top hitting prospect for the next six games. Kyle Schwarber will DH for the Cubs in Cleveland and in Minnesota. He's not in the lineup tonight, but will probably pinch hit, according to Joe Maddon. Jake Arrieta and the Indians' Trevor Bauer face off tonight at 7:05. Brian Schluter was sent down to make room for Schwarber on the roster. And the St. Louis Cardinals say they're cooperating with an FBI investigation into their organization. The FBI alleges at least one person from the Cardinals' front office hacked into the Houston Astros' internal computer network, where files on trade scouting reports and proprietary stats are stored. U.S. Women's World Cup soccer team faces Nigeria tonight at 7. A win puts them through to the knockout round. Game 6 of the NBA Finals tonight as well. Warriors up 3-2 on the Cavs. And finally, Joe Paterno has been elected into the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame. The scoreboard update is brought to you by New Mail Medical Center. Discover the new you, newmailmedical.com. Think you have the best burger recipe in town? Log on to 670thescore.com/burger and enter your recipe for a chance to win tickets to the 2015 Battle of the Burger event, a custom grill, and the opportunity to have your burger sampled live on the air. I'm Julie DeCaro, and you're listening to the radio home for White Sox baseball. The next game on the Score is tonight at 5:30 when the Sox take on the Pirates on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour brought to you by AT&T, mobilizing your world.
Boars and Bernstein.
I'm bored.
This seems like a good bit of fun.
Afternoons on the Score.
Who knows what could happen?
Rocky Wirtz, Blackhawks owner.
I think winning it at home
was something very special. You had 22,000 fans. No one left the building. Of the 22, you probably had 20,000 had Blackhawk jerseys on. It was just a sea of red, and this is just that, you know, some of these buildings, they give T-shirts away. These are people that spend all their hard-earned money to put a sweater on, something that they really believed in. And so it was really gratifying. Plus, how the city has embraced the team, it's just wonderful. And the TV ratings were just off the chart. I mean, you had a 51 rating. Those are numbers like you get for the Super Bowl.
Boers and Bernstein.
You guys do 4 hours a day?
5.
God almighty. I do 3 and want to stab myself in the heart with a pencil for God.
Talking Chicago sports on your ride home.
Yeah, producer today,
Chris Tannehill.
Is he here? Look out, Itchy! He's Irish!
He's not here at all.
No.
Where
he's
is he?
Baldy.
Oh, my God.
I thought he was just
Did you really just ask?
I didn't know. Sometimes
honestly,
he's just sitting there.
At 1:39, you just asked if Chris Tannehill is here.
Is he here?
He's under staring. A drive. I mean, you're actually staring. The only place you can stare at right now is at Baldy McGrindy.
Ew.
And you're asking him, man, you are the dumbest.
He's on his way back from Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, he's with
the dumbest person I've ever known.
He's with Baldy the deer boy himself.
My life.
Brandon so McCaffrey.
Yeah, he's with the deer boy. They're probably back to Cleveland in the mud.
I don't think we're even on the air anymore.
Terry Boers, Dan Bernstein.
A show by the name of Boers and Bernstein. I've been told that he said some pretty harsh things.
The show goes on!
Boers and Bernstein, weekdays 1 to 6 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And 504 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We check in with a guy now who's been most generous with his time. We always appreciate his visits, and he can wrap this all up for us.
He's on the Grossinger Lincolnwood hotline. Find over 4,000 vehicles at grossingerdeals.com. He is Steve Conroy of Comcast Sportsnet. And we mentioned earlier, Steve, that it's not often that in a sport marked by randomness and marked by the unexpected, there was an awful lot of expected, is how it felt last night. There was the buildup. There was all the energy. There was the speeding the cup over to get it there. And I'll be damned if not only is there that first goal, and then it's like, okay, and there's a second one, and all of a sudden it was over, and something so improbable, it just happened. There it was.
Yeah, and, you know, you're absolutely right about the expectations, expecting to win. And it takes me back to last year against the LA Kings in Game 7 overtime. I was just so, I guess, devastated might not be the right word. Shocked is probably a better word. Shocked that they just didn't get to the next step, the final, because that's all these guys know how to do is win. And I think you're absolutely right. You know, they've won in the past, and they expect to win. And that's why last year, you know, I think it probably lived with them all through this season. It was probably some motivation. But, boy, you talk about a team when you need your best game and when you need some players to step up and when you need to clamp it down on defense, these guys just know how to win and get it done.
You know, Steve, it's interesting because we were talking earlier about, you know, that really from top to bottom, this is a victory for the organization. Not just the players. It's great. Obviously, they do the lion's share of the work. But everybody on down from Rocky to John McDonough to Joel, who did a terrific job. I mean, this just wasn't like as great as that team is. There was a whole lot of effort that went into this season.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a great way, Terry, to characterize it, because it wasn't like, you know, Jonathan Toews having 15 goals, you know, in the finals or during the playoffs, or Patrick Kane lighting it up every game. It just seemed to be a different hero every night, and that extends to the coaching staff too. You know, Joel Quenneville doing what he had to do with his goaltenders early, and then doing what he had to do with his lines late. I mean, that was all a big part of it. And then you back it up and you look at Stan Bowman and the acquisitions he made at the time of the injury to Patrick Kane. And I mean, at the time, a lot of people were second-guessing, myself included, but it all turned out to be golden. And, you know, it goes on and on. So it started from the top, and absolutely right. You couldn't probably classify this any better than saying it was all four lines. I guess you can't say it was all six defensemen, because it was basically all four defensemen. And then it was both goalies, though. And how often does that happen? When do you use both goalies, you know, and win a Stanley Cup? I mean, you know, typically when you have a guy starting 4 or 5 games in the postseason for you, it means you're not too sure about who your real starter is. But it all worked out in the end, and I think you're absolutely right. I think everyone who dressed up in the finals can really feel like they were a part of it.
Now, particularly Joel Quenneville, and it's something that I hope is clear to people, but not just the tinkering with the lines, and you mentioned about the goaltenders and getting the new players at the trading deadline, that stuff. But this hasn't been an easy year. There have been all kinds of difficulties that this team has faced, and the untimely death of two people very, very close to the team, and Steve Matador and Clint Rife, those for a lesser team, plus everything else that we know goes on off ice with Corey Crawford, the difficulties they had with him, some personality conflicts, some stuff going on, that from the moment this season began, his overall work with this roster, I don't think this happens if he's not the coach. I don't think it happens if Jonathan Toews isn't the captain, isn't the lodestone of that locker room. I also think it doesn't happen without the lockstep support from John McDonough on down in presenting the united fronts that they've presented to keep everybody protected during some of these things. That's part of everybody's job. But, man, Quenneville is at the center of all of it. For even outside all the hockey, he did a great job.
Well, you know, you're right on all those fronts. And I look at Joel, and I think maybe a lot of coaches, there's 29 other coaches in the NHL, are pretty envious because they say, you know, he's got the horses, and mm-hmm. he certainly does. There's no denying that, whether it's Kane or Toews or, you know, Seabrook and Keith on the back end. You know, Corey Crawford now considered world-class. He's got two Stanley Cups under his belt. But, you know, you're absolutely right. There's a lot that goes on away from the rink, off the ice, that, you know, the coach kind of has to be a parent. He's got to be a babysitter. Parent's probably a better word. And he was a guiding force behind the team, and he kept things in perspective. And I think maybe more than anything, he kept the team focused. And it's great when you've got Jonathan Toews, who's like a coach, actually dressing up and playing in the games. But I'm a firm believer, and I'm not the first to say it, that a team assumes the personality of his coach. And I know Joel gets wound up, and he loves winning more than anybody else, and he hates losing more than anybody else, too. But I think in-game situations, he's pretty calm, cool, and collected. And he's animated, and he's emotional when he has to be, just like guys do in games. And I really think the team has assumed his personality since game one. And, you know, I'll go back to, I remember one of the first games he ever coached, and Patrick Kane took a bad penalty in the first period, and Patrick Sharp took a bad penalty in the first period. And those two guys sat. I mean, two superstars in the NHL, two stars on this team, they sat until midway through the third period. And he didn't have to say anything. He sent his message, and it was delivered, it was accepted, and it was 23 other guys who were on the roster who noticed that. And I think that's what Joel coaches a lot. He doesn't have to say much, but his actions really speak a lot louder than words.
And I think also, Steve, we put him in before. He's a world-class swearer, too, which I just love in a coach. I mean, am I wrong about this?
I mean, I'm sure you played for some great ones in your day.
Gary, you'd love him. He swears, he likes to drink, he smokes cigars, and he likes horses. So he's a guy's guy.
It's like it might be Terry, actually, when you describe him that way. And when we always discuss the construction of a roster designed to possess the puck. And how with no matter what, when everything else fails, just having the biscuit increases your likelihood of winning. And the faceoffs last night, the number of critical draws that the Hawks were able to win